17 minutes to nine, Talking Heads. Speaking of which, we've got a Talking Head joining us on Triple M from this week on, and his name is Dale Thomas. Welcome to Triple M's Footy.
Yes, thank you very much. Well done, thank you for having me. The biggest announcement of my career, no doubt.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, very, very excited to be a part of the team, calling some games, giving some insights, and just working alongside some good people.
And you'll be working with Billy Brownless from Monday for a week?
Yeah, got the rush hour gig with Billy for a week, which should be interesting. I spent 12 days with him in the jungle, and that was far too many, so I don't know why I've signed up for another five with him.
If I know his co-host, James Brayshaw, well enough, there's no guarantee he'll be back for the second week, so just the plan the diary to be open, Daisy.
That has been all over Instagram.
Now, you're always part of the media. In fact, when you were a young player at Collingwood, we had Tomo's Team 13. You were the patron of that. So you've always been involved. Have you enjoyed the media? Is it something you want to now develop?
Yeah, I certainly had a really enjoyable time with the media for the most part of my career. The last couple of years, middle couple of years when I was getting slammed for the ankles and not getting a kick, that sort of made it tougher in the sense that you're still happy to put yourself out there, but you get the same questions and there's only so many ways you can answer them without getting frustrated. So I sort of went underground a little bit on that and then thought, you know what, there's no use me just being a sad sack and not telling my story or giving my opinions on the game, which I love so much. So the last few years, I certainly put myself out there a little bit more and thoroughly enjoyed my time.
You finished up on top at Carlton, didn't you? You fought, I think so. I thought you fought back beautifully. There were times there where I didn't think your ankle was going to get up. And I just thought that the last game down at Geelong, which was sensational for you and your family, it was a good way to finish up, and I think you actually won the respect of Carlton people.
Yeah, and look, that was a huge motivator and driving factor for me in the last few years there. Obviously, coming across, it didn't, Blind Freddie could see that it didn't plan out the way we all had hoped, but the fact that I was able to play some good footy, sort of lead those younger kids through some really tough times, and then play some good footy myself and earn the respect of one of the biggest supporting bases in the land, and to have finished up at Carlton and Collingwood and now to be hopefully loved by both of them is something I'll certainly cherish
forever.
And
you don't have to think too far back. When you won the grand final in 2010, you were as close to the best player in the competition as there was and superstar, and then you get a really severe ankle injury and we'll go through those challenges. But we did get to find out a bit more about you, Daisy, in your time in the jungle, and I want to play this grab because you're very open about some of your own struggles. Have a listen to this.
What is that one?
What's that? Anxiety.
For you?
Yeah. I just get mad anxiety.
Do you? Wow. I didn't know that. What kind of anxiety?
Like stressing about things that are going to happen or things that have happened for no reason. Like you can't control it. You sit there and just get all weird.
Wow. I was really shocked that he was taking pills as well for his anxiety because he didn't talk about it until today. He carried it really well.
I had probably a year and a half of going to footy and every day I'd sit in the car and bore my eyes out and then pull yourself together, go in, crack jokes, laugh, like just a big front, like just to get through and then go home and I was so exhausted from doing that, pretending everything was all right, I'd just go straight to bed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's not a good way to live.
What's the response been like, Daz? You get out of the jungle and you've sort of pulled your heart out a bit. How have people reacted?
The response has been amazing, to be completely honest, from not only people I do know or didn't know that about me, but also just people in the general public reaching out and saying thank you for talking about it, expressing a little bit of their own stories and their own issues. Because for whatever reason, a lot of people I know feel this and suffer from this, but don't really want to tell people about it. And in the end, that's what makes it so much worse. And from my own experiences, once I did bring it to the fore and speak to some people about it, tell my family about it, it almost instantly dropped to a certain manageable level. And then there's obviously professional help you can get that brings it down again. So obviously, you see me as the bloke who was happy to have a laugh, take the mickey out of myself, my teammates, all of that, still trained hard and worked really hard, but there was a fair bit going on below the surface.
How much of that was caused by the fact that you were the favourite son at Collingwood? And then you go to the arch enemy, and so you leave there, and everyone at Collingwood's filthy. And then you go to Carlton, and then you became sort of the poster boy with Mick Malthouse for all their troubles over there. And suddenly you go from being this fun-loving surfing football with the blonde bleached hair and the country boy from Druin and all that, taking screamers, kicking goals, winning premierships. Was that all part of it? I mean, clearly you're a deep-thinking guy who didn't show it a lot on the surface. How much of that made things hard for you, just the circumstances of going from Collingwood to Carlton?
There was certainly a big part of it. Obviously, as you mentioned, I was, you know, universally loved by Collingwood supporters. Footy was great, life was great, everything was on the up, and footy was still the one escape that I'd had from a young age to get away from anything. Yeah. Anything that was going on at home with the family,
because you had
with school,
there were family issues.
Yeah, look, I had a pretty rough upbringing in the sense of the old man wasn't really a part of it. Thankfully, I've got the world's best mum who,
she's a ripper.
Yeah, did triple and a half the time to make it all worthwhile. But coming across and then taking on, I guess, the weight of the world and every problem that came with that, I expected to go to Carlton, still be a really good player, you know, to win over the Carlton's fans, to have the Collingwood fans go, yeah, thanks for your service, but on you get. In the end, it felt like the entire AFL world hated me. And, you know, I could still differentiate the fact from being a footballer and a person. And I reckon at times that got very clouded and very muddy from how I sort of perceived myself and from what people were saying about me. And to be honest, I just had no idea how to deal with it in the end. And, you know, to some extent, that's where it all starts coming up and you don't know what to do. And then all these sort of things come to the surface.
Did you find some good people along the way that stuck with you or did things with you or helped you? Or
yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that's the beauty of, one, having a great family and having played at two great footy clubs, that there are some genuinely fantastic people. And I know you weren't looking for a pump up yourself, Ed, but, you know, to have you in my corner backing me even, you know, the last couple of years, throughout commentary, little things, you know, you'd get me on side and give me a few pump ups when I wasn't really doing a whole lot. But even the fact that, you know, we joke about you answering my calls at weird hours of the night and getting back to me. Michael Malthouse has been a huge one. Obviously, family, my mum, sister, girlfriend. You know, just having some fantastic people that genuinely care about you is a great thing to know, and rest your head on at night.
The only non-genuine part about that is, of course, Ed was super for a couple of days.
So it wasn't the case, but I was very happy to get it.
It was always good. And we say this often, but to have people like you able to speak the way you are is an amazing thing. A better time in 2020. It has a massive impact. And looking forward to hearing on the Rush Hour. Looking forward to seeing you rocking footy on Triple M.
You know what I'm really looking forward to, Darcy? I'm really looking forward to the honesty of Daisy coming through and giving an expert commentary on a lot of the things that are happening in football that we haven't sort of had people in the commentary box who can take you through as much. It's going to be great, and we want to hear more of you, mate, and I hope that you now feel that the football world has embraced you. You've done your time on the ground. You've done your tour of duty, and now
the war's over, Daisy.
Yeah, the war's over. You won. You're a Collingwood Premiership player, and you're a favourite son of the Carlton Football Club as well.
Thanks very much, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to more Daisy Thomas here on Triple M. Ed Cavalier, been very keen to catch up with Ed. There's a lot to discuss with
He's
that
coming
man.
In, is he?
He is, I believe, if Tiff allows him to.
I was going to say, has he got dispensation from Tiff?
Oh, no.
There he is. Let's put his hand up there.
Oh. He's all right.
Yeah, he's all good. All right. 8 minutes. Is it 8? No, it's 9 minutes to 9. Triple M's Hot Breakfast, 15 degrees, top of 20.